So we are here to celebrate the Easter story. And in case any of the details have passed you by this week, here's a little recap. The evening after Jesus had been put to death, a wealthy Jew called Joseph of Arimathea begged Pontius Pilate to allow him to bury Jesus' body. And Pilate agreed. So Joseph went with his friend Nicodemus back to Golgotha, where women were still weeping at the foot of Jesus' cross. Gently, Joseph and Nicodemus lifted Jesus' poor, bleeding body down. They wrapped him in a linen shroud with burial spices and, accompanied by the women, took him to a nearby cemetery. And there the two men laid Jesus in a small cave-like tomb that Joseph had already paid for, and rolled a heavy stone across the entrance. Full of grief and with nothing else to do, they left. Meanwhile, some Jewish officials had been to see Pilate. Jesus of Nazareth said he would rise again after 3 days, they told the Roman governor. Have soldiers guard his tomb so no one can steal the body and then tell everyone that he's miraculously come back to life. Pilate nodded and sent the men away. Pilate's guards sat outside Jesus' tomb through the night of that first Good Friday. Nothing happened. They kept watch all the next day, and again, nobody came. But as dawn broke on the Sabbath, the third day, the earth suddenly shook so violently that it knocked the soldiers off their feet. A white light blazed out of the sky and shone over the tomb. Through the glare, the terrified soldiers watched the glowing figure of a man roll away the massive stone from the tomb entrance. The soldiers were scared by what they saw and fled for their lives. Not long afterwards, a group of grieving women arrived at the cemetery to pay their respects at the tomb. They included Jesus' friends, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and John, Salome and Joanna. When they saw that the soldiers were gone and the stone had been rolled away, they screamed in horror. Someone must have stolen Jesus' body. Inside the tomb where Jesus' body should have been, two shining men were sitting. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? The men said, don't you remember that the Son of Man said he would rise on the third day? Mary Magdalene raced to fetch the disciples, Peter and John. When the two men saw the empty tomb, they were full of anger. They went off to try and find out who had taken the body. Mary sank down outside the tomb, sobbing. Then suddenly she sensed someone behind her. Mary span around, and through her tears she saw a blurry figure whom she thought must be the cemetery gardener. Why are you weeping? The man asked. If you move the body, she begged, please tell me where to. The man just said one word, Mary. Mary's heart stood still. Suddenly she recognized the man. It was Jesus. Go now, Jesus said softly, as Mary fell at his feet, gazing up at him in wonder. Find the disciples and tell them that I will soon be returning to my Father. Meanwhile, the other women who had seen the empty tomb were hurrying homewards when all at once a man appeared out of nowhere on the road in front of them. Good morning, he said. The women were amazed and couldn't believe who they were hearing and seeing. Don't be afraid, Jesus said. Go and tell my disciples to travel to Galilee, and I will meet them there soon. It was indeed a good morning. Jesus is risen. So, we've heard the Easter story, but what does it mean for us? What is Easter 2019 all about for you? Now, in the Bible, Paul wrote a letter to his friend Timothy, and today we're going to learn just one verse from it. If I could have the next slide, please, David. The verse begins like this: what I say is true, and you should fully accept it. That's quite a powerful way to start a sentence, isn't it? What I say is true, and you should fully accept it. It must be really important. It must be really worth listening to. So we're going to see what it says. However, due to some technical difficulties, the first two words have gone missing. And I'm going to need some help from the younger members of the congregation not because of any kind of chocolate-based discrimination, but because they've got more energy, let's face it. So, around the church are hidden some eggs, and inside the eggs there may be some treats, and there may also be some letters that we are going to need to spell the first two words. Now, I take no responsibility for any of this, because Emily and Joel hid the eggs, so if they rock up with 10 each, or nobody can find any of them, then that's on them. So we've got loads of children here today, which is great. If you find that you've got two or three and you can see somebody that's got none, then feel free to share those. But really, we're kind of on pause until you get up and find the eggs. Go. I can't do anything. Joel's gone. How did you know it was there? Oh, Grace, are you going to look for some eggs? Did you want to open one? You give it up. How are we doing? How are we doing? We've seen some of that. Is there anything inside that one? Oh, thank you very much. I'll have that. Can I have the plastic? Is she going to hold the plastic egg? She likes that. Right, if you've got a letter, it'd be good for you to come and add it to my board here. And if we have the plastic eggs back in Michaela's tub, thank you very much. You can keep the thing inside. I'll have the plastic egg back. Thank you. We've got a letter there. Thank you very much. Good job. Great job, Taffy. Great job. Right, we have five letters. Okay, some of them have got no letters. Oh, you've been brilliant. Excellent. Got another letter there. Anna, you've done really well. Look, that's two. Thank you very much. I think we're waiting on three letters. There's no letters left. Well, there were when I cut them up last night. So adults, if you've got can see an egg near you, can you direct a young person to it? Oh, is that another one? Thank you. I might need help with my spelling in a minute as well. Didn't really have a backup plan for eggs not being found. There's a fault in my risk assessment. Any joy over there, Mary? Oh, Joel's found another one. Thank you. You've saved the service. If you've got more than one chocolate egg, can you see if you can spot a child with without a chocolate egg? And then that'd be grand. Have you got one in there?
No.
Nope. We're still one missing. Right. We're going to imagine the letter T. Okay, we're going to visualize it. At the moment, we've got Sriechsusuj, which could be a new piece of IKEA furniture. I don't know. James has got his hand up. Pardon? You know what the thing is? Even without the missing T? Joel. Good job. I mean, I don't think he needs a clap. I mean, to be fair, as they put them out, they really ought to have known where they were. I associate memory loss with being over 40, but there we go. So we have Sriechsusuj. James, are you going to tell us what it says? Christ Jesus. Let's take the C up there. And let's have the H over here. And then, whoopsie, that T is determined to go missing. Well, do you know, you did a brilliant job there, Ruth. Thank you. There we go. Correctly identified. The first two words, thank you, David, are Christ Jesus. That's lovely. Thank you, Ruth. I think that's probably worth one of my special extra eggs. Catch. Good job. Thank you. Right, any plastic eggs later you can put back in there for Michael. So the first two words are Christ Jesus. This is the really important saying that Paul wanted us to understand and fully accept, and it begins with Christ Jesus. And the name Christ means the chosen one, the Messiah. I don't know if you've ever been chosen for something. I remember at school playing football, I would usually be chosen last for football. On the rare occasion that there was a worse player than me, I'd be chosen second to last. And it was like all my Christmases at once. It's a wonderful thing to be chosen. But Jesus takes the name Christ because he is God's chosen one. We also use the word Messiah, which means the same thing. And I don't know if you knew this, the name Jesus, the Son of God, the name means the Lord saves. The Lord saves. So putting the two together, we find when we read Christ Jesus, we read that he is God's Son, chosen to be our Savior. And why did God choose him? Because he was the only one who could do it. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. And Easter is all about him. The rescue mission that he was chosen for. And it's wonderful that Christ Jesus didn't just stay in heaven. He came into the world. We remember at Christmas time how love came down to earth, and Christ Jesus, in that stable in Bethlehem, came into the world. As it says elsewhere in the Bible, he, Jesus, gave up his place with God and made himself nothing. He was born as a man and became like a servant. And when he was living as a man, he humbled himself and was fully obedient to God, even when that caused his death on a cross. So, it's all about Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus who came into the world. And our next song helps us to think about that a bit more. During the song, we're going to take up our offering. And there's an opportunity towards the back. I think Ruth's got some craft for younger children. You can decide how younger you are to do at the back. Also, if you've got any plastic eggs, Michael will be glad to have those back. Thank you. Right, we're singing together, In Christ Alone, My Hope Is Found. So let's just recap where we are. Thank you, David. More time for water. Great. Here we are at Easter. And Paul wrote to his friend Timothy, what I say is true. Can we have the next slide, please? Thank you. What I say is true, and you should fully accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world. And what did Jesus come into the world to do? Well, we see from the next three words And it's three words that has changed my life and maybe your life forever. See, Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And we might have expected a perfectly good God to send his son to rescue the good people and take them out of a sinful world. But this is not what Jesus came to do. He said to some people while he was here on earth, it's not the healthy people who need a doctor, but the sick. I did not come to invite good people, but to invite sinners. That is what Jesus came to do. He came to save sinners. And sin is not something that we talk about very much in 2019. It's not a word that perhaps we are comfortable using. But I have to say to you that it is still a big deal, because our sin, our rebellion, our desire to go after our own way and to please ourselves, it's our biggest problem. It keeps us from God. It keeps us from his perfect heaven. Now, I want to illustrate that to you, but I'm going to need some help. Toby said that the service needs to have lots of chocolate in it. So I have got lots of chocolate. And for this, I'm going to need three helpers who are roughly 14 years old. If you know anybody roughly 14 years old, please elbow them. If you'd like to stand in a very polite line, just here, look. So I'm going to use illustrate this with some examples. That's the only one you're getting, okay? Because it would just be really extreme if we carried on. So
you're sacked.
I am sacked, right? You can take them. Yolks. Right, so we're going to look at some eggs, and they are very nice, sealed. Cadbury's mini eggs here. Did you get any chocolate eggs this morning?
Yeah.
Have you got room for more in your collection? Right, okay. So I'm going to ask each of them to choose an egg from my selection. There's eggs number 1, 2, and 3. Ladies first, Dee Dee, what are you going to go for? They all look exactly the same. You can just pick a number between 1 and 3. If you can't choose, we'll get your mum to choose for you. Right, Dee Dee has gone for number 3. Just hold that still, just there for now. Thank you. There'll come a time when you can unwrap that. Toby, 1 or 2?
1.
I don't know why they're nervous. So we're going to, now is your time to, one at a time, beginning with number 1, could you please open your egg? Is there a problem with your egg, Toby?
There's no egg.
There is no egg. Okay, so box number 1 was completely empty. So if you just hold that there. And because of sin, our hearts are empty. Hearts that should be full of love for God and his strength and a desire to go his way. We are empty. Without Jesus, our lives are empty. So egg number 1 was empty. If you come to this end, because you're number 1. There we go. You can stay there. Good job. Tuffy. At least you have an egg.
I haven't got anything.
I know. What's wrong with yours, Taffy?
It's broken.
Annihilated, I think, would be a better word. So, Taffy's egg number 2, is broken. And you see, our hearts, without Jesus in our lives, never work with eggs and 14-year-olds. Hold fire. Our hearts are broken. We are not what we were made to be. The good folk of Bourneville Factory up in Birmingham did not intend for you to get an egg in that condition. What? And our hearts are broken because of our sin. Empty, broken. You chose wisely. Would you like to unwrap it carefully?
If this is not an egg, there will be serious consequences.
It's pretty egg-like to me.
I hope it doesn't have anything in there.
Would you like to break it open?
It's still an egg.
It's still
an egg. The egg is fine. Taffy, would you like to describe the contents?
My social life. There's
a chocolate wrapper.
There's an egg, but the wrong kind of egg.
We have a used tea bag, a partially chewed roll from yesterday's barbecue, some pencil sharpenings, and one very sad looking piece of lettuce. So anyway, you see, you can see how much I appreciate you. So I think it's fair to... Did you not want egg number three?
No.
So egg number three is polluted. It is full of horrible things. And because of sin, our hearts are full of wickedness. If we stop and think and we're honest about the lies we've told, about the good things we should have done but didn't, about the times when we've been angry or when we've wanted things that we shouldn't, we have to acknowledge that our hearts are empty, broken, and polluted. It is a big deal. This was not how God made us to be. But because Jesus came into the world to save sinners, because he, as the hymn says, died that we might be forgiven, he died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven saved by his precious blood. He has the solution to our emptiness, our brokenness, and our pollutedness. You see, can you just, I put the lid on, just bear to hold that a minute. Just a second. Jesus looks at our pollution. He looks at our sin. And because he lived a perfect life and died to take the punishment, he can give us a new life and we can be made clean. We can be forgiven of all those wrong things. Okay? Jesus looks at our brokenness. He looks at the fact that we aren't what we are made to be. He looks at the effects of sin in our lives and in our relationships. And he says, behold, I make all things new. We are a new creation when we follow Jesus. The old has gone. The new has come. And Jesus looks at our emptiness. He looks at our emptiness and he says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. To fill us with his love and his joy and his spirit, so that we can do the things that he wants us to do. They're still nervous, but I think they should have a round of applause. Go and sit down. You can keep those. Those are genuine. So Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And much as, you know, we're friends here, and it's really nice to see some visitors here today, I have to say that this message is not just for the really bad people. It's not just for the people that we might look at and think of and say, that person's a terrible sinner, that person's a terrible sinner. This message is for everyone, because everyone, as the Bible says, has sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard. Paul knew it, and that's why he said, I am the worst. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul knew that because Christ Jesus had come to save him. And he was a terrible sinner. He hated the church. He persecuted the church. He arrested and tortured and had put to death believers. He was perhaps the most unlikely person ever to become a Christian. But Paul said, I obtained mercy, even though I was the worst of sinners. And you might sit there and think, well, I'm not as bad as that. But we know it's true, don't we? We know it's true that we have sinned. We know that we are empty and broken and polluted in our sin. We, like Paul, need to put ourselves into the verse. We need to recognize that we are the ones Jesus came in to the world to save. We are the ones who are empty, broken, and polluted. We are the ones to whom Jesus offers new life. See, he didn't stay dead. The grave couldn't hold him. He defeated death and rose again. And because he rose again, we can live forever with him. That's what Jesus has done. It is more than we could ever deserve or earn. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Romans 6:23 says, the payment for sin is death, but God gives us the free gift of life forever in Christ Jesus our Lord. Obviously, Paul wrote his letter nearly 2,000 years ago. We live here and now, Easter 2019. But the good news for you and for me is that Jesus is still saving sinners. However bad you or I have been, he can save you. We know our hearts. We know that we need him. We need his forgiveness and his mercy. We need to be made new. I really believe that Jesus wanted you to be here this morning so you could hear that he wants you to have eternal life. He wants you to have it as a gift. But just like the beginning of the verse says, if we could see the beginning again, David, just the start of the verse there. Could you have the next, the beginning of the verse? Yep. I think it's the next slide. Yeah. There we go. Well, that's the last slide. Sorry to confuse you. The beginning of the verse read, what I say is true and you should fully accept it. And that's how you go from just hearing these things to those things changing your life. We need to fully accept his gift. He offers it to you. It will mean that we can no longer try and earn it with our good works. It will mean that we need to let our old way of life die with Jesus on the cross. But it will also mean receiving new life from Jesus. Jesus who rose again on the third day and wants us to live forever with him. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to save you, to save me. May we all fully accept it. Let's just be still and pray. Heavenly Father, we do not know why you should love sinners like us so much. We believe it must be because of your love and your grace that you look upon our emptiness, our brokenness, our pollutedness, our sin, and that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to die in our place. We thank you for him. We thank you that he came into the world to save sinners. And Heavenly Father, if there's anybody here who doesn't yet know Jesus as their Saviour, whether they're very young or very old or somewhere in between, you know our hearts. You know those who have and have not fully accepted it. Father God, I pray that if anybody here is in that situation, would you speak to their hearts, show your love to them, help them to remember what Jesus has done, and help them to fully accept it. And gracious God, those of us who have been walking with you, please fill us again with the joy and the hope and the renewal of your Easter, of the joy of walking with the risen Lord Jesus. We praise him. We love him. Help us to serve him all our days. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Before we sing to close, I wonder, Ruth, is there anything we could display? There's a work in progress. So if you would like to see the Easter creations in the corner, do pop over that way. If you feel that you haven't had quite enough chocolate, there's some more eggs going spare here of various shapes and sizes.